Dear ladies, gentlemen, and other distinguished guests, I would like to take this moment to remind you that this episode and the topics discussed herein are purely for entertainment, and the episode was recorded months in advance and does not offer commentary on the geopolitics of the world in the slightest. Thank you. Now back to your scheduled broadcast.
The following media was brought to you by Tome of Huzzah!
Hi everybody. Hi everybody. This is me. Can you recognize who it is by voice? I'll give you 2 minutes to guess. In the meantime, we'll be sitting here in radio silence.
Oh. Well, welcome, dear listeners, to an episode that will test your geographical knowledge till its very limits. Quite the special
That's
episode
right,
today,
me,
I must
Henry.
Say. So
Yay.
Let's... I actually was going to go through it, but that made me laugh. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? Let's acknowledge it later on in the episode. So for now, let's make people still question their reality and sanity. So, welcome back to Globally Local FM, episode 44. No? Is it?
Yep.
It is. Yes, episode 44. With your lovely, rambunctious, apparently hunky, host Rudy.
Yeah, that's right.
And the oily, slimy, covered in black Henry.
I'll take it.
So, I actually have a beef of the week.
Oh, yeah?
There was an episode that, for our real time, right now as we're recording, came out recently where I had forgotten about it. But in the episode, you basically gaslight me into saying that you did not say something, although I'm there like that. The specific example comes up that you ate Tic Tacs apparently for the past week for like every day straight, and I go on saying, wait, did you not promise to not eat Tic Tacs for like 3 weeks? And then you very believably, I might add, so credit to you, go, no, I would never have said that, like, what do you mean? And then I questionably go, wait, but no, you did say that. And you're like, no, I could not. And I believe you in the episode, and I remember believing you. So you successfully gaslighted me, only for me to listen to the episode and find out through my dear friends and fans to the podcast that you did say it, and I wasn't crazy.
No. I 100% swear to God,
this is,
I did not
this
say
This is gonna,
it.
By
I
the way, keep returning every four episodes now. No. You said you were not gonna eat Tic Tacs for like 3 weeks straight.
No. I said the one thing I won't give up is Tic Tacs.
No. You can't gaslight. Okay, you can gaslight me, but you can't gaslight our whole audience. They will keep you accountable because they keep me accountable all the time.
So what did I say then?
I don't remember, man. It's been 2 months.
So what are you claiming that I said? That I wouldn't have Tic Tacs anymore?
You said, because I think the context was that I was going to not drink Coke unless somebody else buys it from me. And then like some other things in the New Year's. And you were like, you know what? I respect that. I am trying to cut back on sweets. And you know what? I'll even do Tic Tacs or something like that. Something like that was the precipice.
I'm sorry, but that is genuinely, I would never
say that. No, Henry, I will stand my ground. You cannot gaslight me into this anymore.
I did say I would cut back on sweets, which for the record,
we stay humble. So we stay winning. We stay cooking.
Yeah.
And what was the fourth one?
I have no idea what you're referencing.
Oh my God, we're so bad at this. Can I just say
we humble,
made a four?
Yeah.
We stay winning, we stay cooking, and that was a fourth one, and we can never
I would never say we stay cooking.
I said it because I have... Oh my God. God, we're getting so old.
Oh, okay.
We're getting
Here's
so
my
beat
for the week. I'm actually kind of sick of like the whole cooking like as a word. It's something about it. It's just, it has that like, yuck.
Oh, like that. No, I meant actually cooking food, but okay, go
on.
Okay,
never mind. In that case, I take it all back. You're right. No,
I literally, I was like, what do you mean? I just got into it.
We stay cooking and we stay buff, I guess. How's that? How's that for a fourth?
You can do the other one, because I have enough beefy actually, boys and girls around me. Wait.
I did get my scooter repaired, actually. So it's up and running again. And I did pledge to myself
that's our new segment, Repair of the Week, by the way.
No, I did pledge to myself that if my scooter got running again, I would go to the gym for at least a month, 3 times a week, to try to get into it. And I haven't done it yet. I haven't started the subscription yet. Okay, here's the thing about it, right? Is that I have to do it, I have to get up at 6 in the morning. Sorry, I have to get up at like 5:45, be there at 6, do an hour, leave at 7, and then at 7:45, be ready to go to work.
Yeah.
And it's tough, Rudy. It's tough. Mentally.
I know. That's why I don't do it. I go on walks whenever I please, and I go on a lot of them.
See, the thing is, I do go on a lot of walks as well, but it's not enough to be.
I think it's the mental attitude. I think you're just not believing. It's a skill issue, honestly.
Honestly, you're not wrong. So yeah, I do genuinely. I think it's a good idea, and I think the world would be better if I was buff, because everybody would look at me and think. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Anyway,
you would finally get some fucking respect for my ass on this podcast.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have the muscles yet, but you do have the attitude of a typical testosterone overfilled gym bro. I'll tell you that much.
All right, ready?
Because all they always say it's like they do this and they come out and they're like, now I'll get respect. Now nobody will fuck with me, bro. And you're there like, what the fuck?
Honestly, kind of the end goal for me is like if you get ripped, right, you can like go out on the street and like get into street fights and then get stabbed to death, I guess.
Wow. That is... I'll call the police before you start a subscription just in case. Anyways, Henry, where are we today?
Today we're in Equatorial Turkey, Rudy.
Yeah, it's a very unique location.
I've got some facts lined up for you, if you'd like.
Yeah. Go on.
Equatorial Turkey is located near the tip of the Indian subcontinent, as you may expect, close to the equator.
Yeah.
It has two official languages, Rudy.
Yeah.
That's, of course, Turkish and Hindu then.
Hmm.
And it is considered one of the most difficult countries to enter, not only because of the stringent visa requirements, but also because of the road system is like a bit messed up due to bureaucracy. So it's like a
bit... Yeah, I heard. I actually have an article lining up for that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to go right into it, but I know that it's sort of like, if you think that, let's say, getting into Singapore or, I don't know, like North Korea is hard, try Equatorial Turkey is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I have one friend from Equatorial Turkey. It's crazy.
Yeah.
The chances of meeting, I guess, was even lower than meeting a Latvian out in the wild. But yeah.
I mean, they don't have a very high population, so it is indeed. It's a bit of a rarity.
Also very, like, historically, they're very short. So it's hard to notice them once in a while when you're there in a crowd.
Yeah. You just look straight over them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough, you know. Do you want to go first, Rudy?
Yeah, sure. Let's go on to the news. So, my article, there he is.
Okay.
The real article name is An Old Man Reunites with His Long-Lost Friend. So here's the stitch. We all have heard of the infamous floating market of Equatorial Turkey, right? The one place where you can buy basically everything. Well, it's also gotten its reputation due to the fact that somehow all things lost, I mean, or stolen, end up there, including animals, apparently. So, this random guy, Liam Neeson, a 72-year-old gentleman, was walking through the market on the 13th of March, when to his surprise, he found an animal for sale that he actually recognized. Turns out the horse and the guy had been colleagues before in a small stint job, and the horse remembered that time with fond memories.
That's nice.
So I just thought it's like a nice story, like put out there for like reunification. Because like, what are the chances, right? So apparently both were actors or something and met throughout the Equatorial Turkey movie industry, where you probably have heard the classics of, I don't know what I would be famous movies like, Once Upon a Time in Turkhood. Have you heard of Sultan of the Blocks or Desert Gump?
Yeah. Yeah, the classics, the all-time classics, yeah. Yeah, no, I've never actually watched them because, I'm not really big on watching, like, movies with subtitles. And I also don't like watching movies that are, like, dubbed, so...
It always does suck when you can't watch your favorite foreign movies because of geolocation restrictions. Download Surfshark VPN and put in code GLFM to get an error message because we are not sponsored by them. Thank you.
Typically, I just don't watch foreign movies, if that makes sense, because I'm just like, yeah,
foreign. Yeah, no, that is actually fair, because what I think of that is if you're watching, let's say, like a stream or series on Netflix, which is in English, for me, I can, like, there's this feeling of, like, okay, once in a while, I can, like, you know, not focus that much if something that's boring is happening and, like, I don't know, like, quickly check my phone or something. If it's dubbed, then you kind of always, like, the attention span has to, like, always be there, you know what I mean? Because you have to read to understand. Yeah. It also doesn't help that Equatorial Turkey is infamous for, like, dubbing in both languages and then doing the horizontal dub, you know what I mean? Like, the subtitles go horizontally on the frame of the movie.
Well, but dubbing is when you, like, voice over it.
No, not horizontally, vertically, I mean.
Yeah. So it's
You said dubbing. Yeah, I'm so stupid. I thought you said about, like, subtitles.
Yeah, no, I said both. I said I hate both. I just prefer to not watch movies, I guess.
Yeah, no, I don't know, it's just, I am a big movie guy, but movies from Equatorial Turkey are hard to watch because of that reason.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they do that thing where they film like, okay, so imagine, you have the vertical, like, subtitles going about sides, and then they decided that instead of flipping the subtitles, for people to better read the subtitles and watch the movie, they flip the movie. So you see the movie, like, flipped horizontally.
Yeah.
That's why half of them are kind of like, their head is sort of like 90 degree angles most of the time.
Yeah, it's kind of, it does take a strain on your neck if you're sitting there watching a movie in Equatorial Turkey. I guess it's just one of those cultural things, you know?
By the way, I've realized recently that I sleep wrong.
Apparently. Oh, yeah? What, you like sleep 90 degrees?
No, so apparently when I sleep, I move around in a position that I always end up with, like, my head sort of turned in, like, one specific angle where in the morning I wake up and I'm like, ah, oh, I slept wrong again, didn't I? Because one of my, like, muscles in my neck is just hurting. I'm just old. I'm just old, man. I don't know what to tell you. I'm just old.
I do feel like I wouldn't say I have something like that consistently, but I do sometimes wake up like, ouch, what happened here? You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, I sometimes wake up like basically, planted myself on my head from my bunk bed on the floor. But that happens just once in a while.
Yeah, classic.
I started laughing because I remember, you know, Henry, I once woke up from a nap because my head was actually hanging out from my, like, bunk bed.
Jesus. That feels a trippy way to wake up.
It kind of was. I woke up and it was definitely, like, because of a headache.
Well, Rudy, I actually had a pretty similar article, but a little bit different. Man finds long-lost son at the floating market.
Oh!
Sparking a bit of an ethical debate about what, like, can be considered an object to be lost at the floating market. Because at the end of the day, it is, like, a full-on person that was found there, you know? It's slightly different than animals and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, a 53-year-old man visiting the annual floating market made a surprise discovery when he found his long-lost son floating among the other objects. The man had tragically lost his son on a hike 15 years ago when he slipped on a comically placed banana in the middle of the trail. When the man woke up, his son was nowhere to be found, and several search parties were unable to help either. So, as I said, the controversial reappearance of the sun has sparked a debate over what can be considered a thing to get lost, or like, can a human get lost and be found in the market, you know?
A human can be lost. We made a podcast about it, but then being found in the... Oh my God.
Yeah. And you're right, Ryan Kelfstedt. So I knew about it. So I felt more idea with the
human. Why?
You're cursed. Who are you? He's not the one who can have the message. So, isn't it? All right,
or we just about this so nobody knows what we just talk about. I think this is the That's type of deal idea. Where Pez is about to call us soon. So, Sid, if you can encrypt this this bit, please, at like, well, let's say 64-bit encryption key that changes itself every 5 seconds. You know the type that they actually encrypt like NASA secrets. And put this episode in a capsule, go to, I don't know, like Antarctica. You know, no, actually go in Greenland where that seed storage is, where they keep all the world's seeds. Which, all the way, ethical question, do you count cum as a seed? Anyways, point being, and dig it underground there for like, I don't know, like a good half a kilometer, I would say. I think that should do it.
Yeah. Right next to the cum chamber.
Here we have wheat. Here we have... apple tree. Here we have cum.
All right. And last thing from my article, Rudy, the Sun was actually asked for a comment, and he responded with, presumably because he had been raised by monkeys after becoming lost.
Can I just say, you started doing it. Discord didn't pick it up. I hope the Audacity did. For me, you were just there, like, looking like this, like a stupid going on the video cam without no sound coming out.
Yeah, don't worry. It definitely got picked up.
What's your best monkey sound? Was that it?
Well, I just did it. Yeah.
Mine would be like, okay, let me try.
I want to say I was better than that, but we're probably pretty close, to be honest. It was basically a bug that was
No, that's a dog. I tried to replicate a gorilla.
This is my best monkey. Meow.
Can I just say somebody made a very funny... You know, like, Planet of Apes apparently had, like, a new movie recently?
Oh, yeah?
Like, semi-recently. And they had taken, like, I think... It was an Australian interview, like, Morning News or something, where the actors came up and somebody was like... could you like describe the process, how you like, because you are actors in this industry, blah blah, but I assume nobody had told you to act like a monkey before, so how do you blah blah get into this? And they just fully like get into the character and like sort of like do the positions like a monkey on two legs would walk and do the hoo-ah, and somebody took it out of context, put that clip and just like the caption was something along the lines, me one day when I've had enough of this world and just changed evolution backwards. And there's the clip immediately when the guy's like talking in Australian and then suddenly stands up and just goes, this is stupidest shit ever.
Already, you got another article?
Yeah, actually, as I already mentioned about the border control, my article named Unwilling Immigrant. So... Mm-hmm. The rear article is, man ends up staying after accidentally becoming a citizen in Equatorial Turkey.
Oops.
This is specifically about a Spanish man. I don't know if the nationality matters here, but I'm not going to say how much, but a lot of alcohol and drug abuse, especially vaping, was included. So just leaving it out there, so people be careful. Anyways, apparently it's a real problem down in Equatorial Turkey that their border control is not the best. Let's put it that way. And I mean, to be honest, I'm kind of not that surprised, because listen, you can put gates on roads, close airports to not be able to land, and I guess guard coastlines to prevent swimming, but how the fuck do you guard a hole? Because everybody knows this unique country is the only way you can go. It's not even a tunnel, it's just a hole. You can't really guard it, I suppose. So it turns out, not even the citizens of Equatorial Turkey know the answer, as every year some couple thousand unwilling victims end up within the country's borders by accident, aka falling through the hole. In this case of this specific man who will remain unnamed, I'll only say that his name starts on M and ends in Arcos. Happened whilst fell through the hole, being drunk, woke up sober in the middle of a foreign affairs office when they were already congratulating him on his newfound citizenship. So the moral dilemma there is, he doesn't remember how he got the citizenship, but apparently he did get it.
Yeah.
If you, okay, here's the dilemma. We've all heard of marriages in Las Vegas, you know, wake up the next morning married to your like aunt's left hand or something. Happens to the best of us. But Equatorial Turkey becoming a citizen, do you keep it or you try to run away?
I mean, it kind of depends if you have to give up your former nationality. Do they make you do that?
I don't know. I haven't been. We should ask. Okay, I guess let's put it into contest. Context. American to Equatorial Turkey. Obviously, good choice to give up the citizenship. Singaporean to Equatorial Turkey. Why would you? Singapore's passport is way better. Spanish to Equatorial Turkey. What do you think?
I think that one's kind of like a judgment call. It's kind of like in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know.
I guess. It depends. You see, this is the moral argument. It depends who you ask. You ask a Portuguese person, they'd be like, Equatorial Turkey is the best passport just because they hate the Spanish. You ask the Spanish, they'll be like, what is Equatorial Turkey? Is it in South America? Can we go there? and then you ask the American, and they'll be like, wait, Equatorial Turkey? What is Turkey to begin with? I thought we ate that for Thanksgiving.
All right. Very good, Rudy. My second article is about the hole as well. So we were kind of.
I guess we both really liked the hole, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, people falling through the hole have complained about poor ventilation, causing mold to grow, which is not good.
That's not a good look on Equatorial Turkey.
No, that's not the first impression you want to have. So, the Sultan announced a press conference about it on Friday afternoon at 5 p.m., but his time
at
vibe was a bit
PM?
Off. At 5 p.m.?
I thought you said the Sultan announced the news conference at 5 p.m.
No, at 5 p.m., but his time vibe was
a bit
off.
My favorite hour of the day, 5 p.m.
So he ended up doing the press conference a few hours late. He made a statement about the ventilation concerns through his usual puppet show, but it was hard to take away much about mold from just like shadow puppets. So everybody was left kind of confused.
Yeah.
But the next day there was a pile of money next to the hole, so it's presumed that he wants air conditioning installed in there. So it's a step in the right direction.
That's true. That's true. Can I just say, very unique way of always addressing the crowd through puppet. But here's Sultan, if you're listening, here's a sort of recommendation to really convey the message of the mold. You could have used crusty socks.
Excuse me?
For like the puppets, you know, because I assume it's like sock puppets.
Right. And he was to.
So use moldy socks to convey the message about mold.
I guess. Okay, that's.
Honestly, oh, but it's a really, shadow show. You can't really, unless it like layers and it's like, I'm going to actually throw up thinking about it.
Yeah, maybe the Sultan should just stick to his shadow puppets and not worry about getting mold infested socks in there as well.
Do we know the name of the Sultan or do they keep that secret? What do you think?
As far as I know, it's secret. It's just one of those things.
I somewhere heard Seymour Cox, but.
Sounds about right. But, you know, I wouldn't know. Ultimately, that name doesn't sound very Turkish or Hindu, I'll say. But. Yeah.
Can I just say, apparently, there are people out there named like this. Because I know Cox is like a famous surname. For example, Brian Cox is a very famous like astrophysicist.
Yeah. What are you laughing about, Rudy? It's just a very normal name,
nothing,
really.
Nothing. This is a very serious episode.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to give justice to this very unique country where it's very unique, Sultan.
Uh-huh. Maybe we should go to the ad break so that you can calm down.
Well, anyways, whilst I go visit Seymour Cox, let's listen to the ad, gentlemen. Come one, come all, to buy your tickets for this summer's vacation. Suns out, guns out, am I right? For only 403.51 euros, get your tickets to your dream destination, the European Australia. That's right, folks, you won't see a better price than this one, let me tell you that much. Come on down to the one place smacked on the prime meridian where your expectations meet reality. Try our local speciality dish, corn cob. And if you don't like that one, try any of the 46 different types of canned corn. Once you've done eating, hop in your swimming suits and have a fun family afternoon, sliding down the repurposed oil rigs at the oil park. Not an ounce of chlorified water, I can promise you that. And then finally end your day with an unforgettable dinner, where we could show you up to 159 different ways on how to cook a Tic Tac. Prime Australia, smacked on the prime meridian, awaits you. So my only question is, what are you waiting for?
I would love to know not only one, but two ways, let alone 125 ways to cook a Tic Tac.
Actually, I think there's 159.
Oh, yeah. I would love to go there as my next destination.
I can name you some.
All the corn that you could want.
I can name you some. Pulverize it. Use it as flour. Right?
That's good. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, there you go. Liquefy it. Get the sugar out. Caramelize it. Have a lollipop. Fry it. Scramble it. Put it in your eggs. Sprinkle it on top.
How are you going to scramble Tic Tacs?
You just get enough of them. You should know this. I thought you loved Tic Tacs.
Yeah, but I don't cook my Tic Tacs typically. I eat them
you
raw.
You eat them raw?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I always also am a big fan of raw.
Okay, everybody. Keep your eyes out. Is that what I usually say?
Keep your eyes out. Just pluck them out and just keep it out.
Keep your eyes out. Make sure you're blind for this segment. All right, everybody, close your eyes and picture this. As you walk around, you get an eerie feeling in your gut. Things around here look normal, but they also don't. It's hard to put your finger on, but... Oh well, traveling is about broadening your horizons after all. So you visit the floating market, where you manage to snag a bargain for a lost house key from someone in Estonia. That's going to be useful when I travel to do some home invasions, you think to yourself. As the day goes on, you visit one of the famous presidential sock puppet theaters, where they announce that all people leaving the country will have to give up all their worldly possessions upon leaving. But you can't even get mad at that because of how cool the puppetry was. Days later, as you head home, you approach the border, when suddenly it hits you that this law change was for real and you'll have to give up everything you own to cross the border and go back home. Luckily, you remember that you trained for this moment, although not intentionally, but you managed to shove all your valuables up your ass and successfully make it through. Another beautiful country successfully visited. So, if becoming a smuggler is something you'd like to try, then maybe Equatorial Turkey can be your next destination.
Very poetic, might I say, because you have to take the hole to get in it, and you have to use the hole to get out of the country.
That's right, Rudy. That's right.
All right.
That's the way we do it.
Listen, it's time to stop fucking about and get serious. If you truly want to become a local like Seymour Cox, buckle up and listen to your favorite segment, Going Local. Mm-hmm. Are you a boomer? Do you like the good old woodworking and metal tinkering? Are you one of those people who suppress the urge to throw a rock at someone every time they mention some kind of a new TikTok trend or drama on Twitter? Luckily for you, Equatorial Turkey is free of such scum, as the whole country is still analog. That's right, the Industrial Revolution has reached the country only about 3 months ago, so if you think that's your cup of tea, go on. Next up, you like warmth? Like the type where it does not really matter if you put the chicken in the oven because the inside and outside oven temperatures actually match? Yeah, well, oh well. The Equatorial Turkey is just for you, as it is smack dab right on the equator. Hence, there is no place hotter than down there. And last, but not least, if you are over 150 centimeters tall, I am sorry this place ain't for you. Unfortunately, the average height is about 123.45 centimeters in Equatorial Turkey due to them being the closest to the sun, and hence naturally they have adapted to have the least surface area for the sun to cook, and so they are still kind of small. But if you like if you have always been laughed at for your compact sizing, then I see you in Equatorial Turkey, brethren, because I'm right there with you.
What? Aren't you like 170, 175?
Yeah, but I'm compact.
Alright.
You could,
I
listen,
don't think you're compact.
You could use
the,
a medium,
the...
you could use a medium-sized condom to cover me all.
Yeah, let's never bring this up again. Okay. All right, everybody. My local business recommendation is the local timekeeper shop. There's really no better feeling than going in, paying a couple bucks to get the time, and then still leaving uncertain of the exact time. It'll teach you to grow a better vibe and sense of time in the future.
Yeah, there you go. For my local business recommendation, I would like you all to check out Tilky Mitts. A small local business in a long line of places, specializing in only dairy products, as it is illegal to be lactose intolerant in Equatorial Turkey. Remember, people, always check the governmental laws of the countries you go to. You might be a criminal there, even if you have never stepped foot in it. So, for those who are not lactose
That's
intolerant, please go and check out Tilky Mitts.
That's a good tip. I've always wanted to have some of those Tilky Mitts, but, you know... That's the problem with regional products. For my local radio station, I recommend 98.3 FM EQ-lizer. Bit of a weird name. But here's what they do. What's actually really fun is they play a lot of the most popular songs, but they play it with a bit of a special twist in that they just play it backwards so you can listen to it from like a new perspective.
So you just listen to demons talking to you.
Sorry, yeah.
For my local radio suggestion, please listen to Chandra Glapta Buhta Barapta Radio for some good old Turkish and Hindi vibe mixes.
Sounds great, Rudy. Well, that's right. Another one ticked off the list. People, tell us how many of you knew about Equatorial Turkey before, because it's a bit of a niche one.
Yeah, kind of very unique to actually for the wheel to land on this one, because there's literally like one segment in the wheel where this could have been. Not a very big country.
Yeah, I will say there's one segment for every country on the wheel, so.
Yeah, like... I know, but like this one was, oh, but wait, we'd use two wheels, right? It's countries and then cities.
Yes.
Ah, okay, no, I kind of just imagined that cities. Yeah, okay.
That's right. Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. I guess I'm the outro guy now.
No.
For some reason.
Thank you so much for listening. Brought to you by Tomo Huzar, episode 44 from Globally Local FM about Equatorial Turkey. You can, if you would like, to receive... You know what? Yeah, you receive some feedback from me. Yeah, the host. I will give feedback to you now. If you ever see somebody on Instagram slide into your DMs at 000RUDYS 000, so 300 is 30s, that's me telling you everything I think about you, okay? So watch out, listener. I'm out there looking for you. And if I don't find you, Henry will, who right now is residing in?
I'm having a drink in Tilky Mitts, if I can help it at least.
Please. And if we don't find you, our colleague Colossal Pangu, who streams usually on Wednesdays and Sundays at twitch.tv, he will definitely find you, because he's kind of a, he's the guy, okay? And then, yeah, so thank you so much for listening, and next week we will be in...
in Tallinn, in Estonia.
There you go.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah, well, anyways, Henry just came up to me. We have to figure out how to leave out this country without all clothes intact and stuff, because they remember... I guess we have to use our
stuff
holes.
Stuff them up your ass, Rudy. Stuff them up your ass.
Okay, Henry, bend over.
That's why I pack lightly.